I want to, before we dive in, I want to hold up one of our sisters.
Come on.
Charlene Jones. Where's Charlene? Charlene, stand up. Charlene not only graduated this last week from JJC, but she was chosen to be the commencement speaker for her graduation. Amen. And I want to applaud you, Charlene, for fulfilling that dream in your life. You know, Christmas is a time of dreams.
Yep.
Just last week at our men's night out, I asked the men to take some time and write down their dreams for the coming year. Because it's time to start dreaming now. Because 2008 is going to be here before you know it.
Amen.
And we talked about a few areas. I challenged the men to write down 5 personal and family dreams that they have for next year, 5 church dreams, and 5 dreams for your community that you live in.
Come on, bro.
And I want to encourage all of you to spend some time in prayer, dreaming about what God can do through us, even in the coming months.
Come on, bro.
An unknown author once said, aim for nothing, and you'll hit it every time.
Yep.
Now, how many of you guys have joined with me in fulfilling that prophecy? When we don't have dreams, we're not going to fulfill them. Because they don't exist.
Right.
And so as a church, as the Chicago International Christian Church, I believe too, we need to aim for something.
Come on, bro.
What are we aiming for? Look in Matthew chapter 5.
Preach your word, bro.
Amen, amen, I'm coming.
Come on, bro.
Amen. Verse 14. Jesus says here to His disciples,
come on.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, brothers and sisters, let your light shine before men. Why? That they may see your good deeds. You see? They don't see your good thoughts.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
They see your good deeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do they do? And they will praise you for it.
Nope. Nope. Come on.
Well, if you don't tell them who to praise for it, they will praise you for it.
Yeah.
That's not what we want to be as a church.
Nope.
No. We want our good deeds to be seen, and we want everyone to know we wouldn't be doing no good deeds if it weren't for the good God that gave us our good life. Amen. And so what's our dream? Title of the sermon today. I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. I know some were dreaming of a white one and we got it last night. Amen. But I'm dreaming of a light Christmas.
Come on.
What are you talking about? You mean you're dreaming of not getting anything? Just, you know, light? Christmas light? Well, I tell you what, that is part of my dream. Growing up, my mom and dad used to try to prepare us kids for Christmas. Like I know you're trying to prepare your children.
Come on.
Not to expect everything they ever wanted to be under the tree.
Come on.
Because that's not what Christmas is all about. And my mom and my dad would say, you know, it's been a tough year, kids. It's going to be a light Christmas. And of course, Christmas was always awesome.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always awesome because I got just everything I wanted. And I think this Christmas, let's not just blend in with all the non-believers. But let's be a bright light, church.
Come on.
A light to the world that shows people around us, in our community, at our job, at our school, that what Christmas is about isn't materialism.
Come on.
I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. Matthew chapter 2.
Come on, bro. All right, bro. Preach.
preach it.
Come on.
Fall for it.
In Matthew chapter 2, we get an account of the birth of Christ. Because last week, Anthony taught on Luke 2, which is the other account. And I'm so proud of all the young brothers and sisters that gave their testimony last week.
Amen.
So awesome to hear what you had to say. But in Matthew 2, we're going to start reading in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, that's wise men, isn't from Star Wars, wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was fired up and excited that a king had been born. Isn't it amazing that not everyone's fired up about the birth of Christ? King Herod was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" Now, how are they supposed to know that? Because the Old Testament prophesied exactly what was going to happen. So he called together those that knew God's Word, and he asked them what it said. It says here, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." This was something we've been waiting for a long time. You know, my parents are very generous. And if we don't make it home to Texas for Christmas, they send a big box full of presents. And my kids wait for that box to come because in that box are a lot of boxes. And the tree goes from pretty light to pretty heavy. There are all these boxes under the tree. Well, my parents also send a stipulation, mainly for my wife.
Okay, come on, bro.
You see, I was raised where you don't open stuff before Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know different people have different traditions.
Come on.
And I'm not trying to impose mine on you.
Come on, bro.
My father is a railroad engineer. He drives a freight train. And so, he was always on call about 8 hours after he got home, growing up. So, we didn't know if he'd be home on Christmas. Christmas could be the day before Christmas. It could be the day after. Or 2 days after. Man, sometimes that was tough. But we opened presents as a family together. But my wife, she thinks a little differently.
Come on, bro.
She likes to open stuff before.
Lay it out, bro.
You know, like today. It was a Christmas service, so let's open a present.
Nice.
And of course, my children much more like the itching of the ears they receive from her.
Oh.
And someone has to hold down the logic in the house. That's my mother. And my father, they said, "Now don't open it till Christmas." Okay. Well, this year, they send an envelope full of receipts. So you know if something isn't right or doesn't fit, or you take it back. What did my dad say? "Make sure Teresa doesn't open the receipts. Because on the receipts, it tells you what's in the boxes." So Teresa has a long wait. It's even longer because she put up the tree the day after Halloween. Kama said this morning, you know, hopefully I'll get my tree up the day before Christmas and get it down the day after. It's been so busy. She's an empty nester now, so, you know, that didn't take precedence. I said, hey, Teresa, day after Halloween, she starts hauling the boxes in. What are you doing, honey? I'm putting up the tree. Might as well get the most out of this holiday. Well, amen. So you're going to get the most, but she's going to have to wait. Well, let me tell you something. How about the people that were waiting?
Come on.
And waiting for the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
Waiting through years and years of oppression.
Yeah.
Waiting for that king to be born that would take away our sins.
Come on, bro.
Come on, man. It says here, verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. He wanted to shake the Lord's hand. He wanted to shake it real good. He didn't want to go worship, did he? He wanted to get rid of the Lord. Read on. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east, it's amazing, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down, and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, and of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What an amazing description of the birth of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it appears to me that today we have the same kind of reactions going on.
Come on, bro.
We have some that are overjoyed to worship Christ. We have others that are disturbed.
Yep. That's right.
By Christ's existence.
Yeah.
And oh yes, He does exist.
Right.
God came to be with His children.
Yeah, man.
And God died on a cross for His children. And then He went and ascended back into heaven. But He didn't leave us as orphans. He sent His Spirit to be inside every single true baptized disciple.
Amen.
That they could be a light to all the world.
Amen.
And it appears to me, brothers and sisters, that we should be, in this story, like the star that appeared and led wise men to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm dreaming of a light Christmas.
Yeah.
How about you?
Come on.
That we can be a light, a bright light in a dark, dark world.
Yeah.
And that people that want to love God and want to worship God will see His disciples and they'll follow that bright light.
Yeah.
Why was Herod disturbed that a king had been born? Because he was the king.
Right.
He was the pro-Roman king of the Jews. So, he served the Romans and oversaw his people, the Jews. A new king was in town. Are you overjoyed that Christ is your Lord? Or are you disturbed that you don't get to be king anymore?
Come on, bro.
Now that's what the birth of Christ means, guys. Those of us that recognize He is King and He's Lord of our lives. Then comes the surrendering and letting Him be King. I've heard a story for many years now about how in every human's heart is a cross and a throne. Have you heard that story? In every human heart there's a cross and a throne. And as long as you're sitting on the throne, guess who's hanging on the cross?
Come on.
Jesus.
Yep.
He's on that cross for us. What we need to do is get up out the throne and let our Lord sit down and take His rightful place.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
But what we want to do is we want to keep sitting there. But see, when you get into the Scriptures, when you study the Scriptures, it forces you to see it the way I'm saying it. See, you close your Bible, you got a swivel throne. Maybe a lazy boy throne. And you close the Bible and you just swivel away from the cross and turn on the game. Amen! But when you open the Bible, that chair is automatic. It just swivels you right back and makes you look at the cross.
Come on, bro.
And it makes you see the decision that if you believe Christ is the King, you've got to get up, let Him sit down. And what do you do with the cross? You pick it up and you carry it. And you carry that cross. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. How about you? What are your dreams this Christmas? What are God's dreams for you this Christmas? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
Come on, bro.
It's a great scripture that we use in our first principle studies when we sit down to study with new guests to our church. And it says here in verse 19, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God."
Amen.
"As they were carried along by His Holy Spirit."
Come on.
Well, what a powerful scripture.
Yeah.
But what does it mean? Well, remember we talked about the prophets. Those men of old. Those men of faith that proclaimed what was going to happen in the future. Namely, the birth of Christ. But here, Peter writes, and they say hindsight is 20/20. Peter doesn't just have to imagine the day that Christ would come. He walked with Him.
Yep.
He saw the miracles. And he felt the shame of denying his Lord 3 times. He felt the intense love of God that one morning over breakfast. As Jesus showed him, he still believed in Him. And reinstated Him after he messed up. And he says, and he writes in his letter, remember what the prophet said? We have it made more certain. We saw it with our eyes.
Come on.
I'm not just giving you a story I heard. I'm giving you an eyewitness account. And you'll do well to pay attention.
Yeah. Come on.
No. Not just this half-hearted, oh yeah, I'm paying attention, but when's lunch? Kind of pay attention.
Come on, bro. Lay it out.
But as a light shining in a dark place.
Yeah.
Now, if I ask people, you know, you ever go through those rides at like Disney World or Six Flags? They used to call it when I was a kid the Spelunker Cave. Or at Disney now they got Pirates of the Caribbean. And you're going through on a boat. And it's really dark. And you're going through on some little water. You go around a corner and, something pops out at you. It's like that. It's like you're in a dark place.
Come on.
And then you see a light. Now, this ain't no ride. This ain't no kiddie ride where someone's wheeling you along. You're trapped. and you see a light up front, what are you going to do with that light? You're glued. You're following that light. Peter's saying to us, that light's the Word of God, guys. But does it take Easter and Christmas to get us to listen to it? I mean, I grew up in a religion where if you go Christmas and Easter, clock in, clock out, you're good. A friend of mine called those people creasters. Oh, well, we're going to see all the creasters today, Chris. The Christmas and Easter people. And we used to talk of having a Sunday called No Excuse Sunday.
Come on, bro.
Where we'd invite people out to come to church. Why do we want them to come to church? To hear the Word of God.
Right.
Not that the food's good. The fellowship's good. Without the Word of God, it's nothing.
Right.
Because we're not bright lights without the Word of God.
Right.
So we're going to have No Excuse Sunday. We're going to have this sometime soon in our church.
Come on.
Where we're going to have cots in the back for people that plan on being tired Sunday morning. We're going to hand out fans for people where it's too hot. And we're going to hand out, you know, we're going to have blankets and, you know, warm towels for people that it's too cold. We're going to have some hearing aids for people that can't hear in the back. As you've noticed, I think our entertainment, we outgrew our primitive sound system today. And we need a good sound system, amen. And for those that think it's too loud, we'll have some hearing cotton balls to put in.
Come on, bro.
Close it up. We're even going to have hard hats. For the people you've invited to church that say, oh no, not me. If I walk into church, the roof will cave in.
Nice.
We're going to have chickens cooked. With sides of potato, gravy, biscuits, for those that would say, oh, I can't come, I have to cook for my family for after church. No, you come, we'll give you a chicken to take home. And then we'll put Easter lilies and poinsettias all over the church, just for those that have never seen a church any other way. For the creasters that will come.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Listen, I'm trying to be funny, but there's a serious point to be made. The Bible takes a back seat in our lives.
Come on.
We get so caught up in our world as we know it. Who made the world as we know it? No, He didn't. People did. The way we do things, 9 to 5, is that God? Did He make that up? Where's that? I didn't see 9 to 5 book. Is that in there?
No.
Where's corporate America? Is that somewhere in here? I think it's somewhere. See, the world is the way it is because that's how man has evolved it to be.
Come on, bro.
We operate with a system that is not necessarily how God intends us
Come
to
on.
Be.
Right,
where we put all our time into going to work and making the money just so we can hopefully get home and have a couple hours to get through homework with the kids. Maybe grab a bite, put them to bed, and rush off to a second job, maybe. Man, America, the American dream, drives you into the ground.
Yep. Yeah, come on, bro.
You know, we're the country of all countries, work ethic. I think I saw a report not too long ago where in Italy, every person in Italy, on average, takes off 43 days a year. Well, y'all are moving to Italy. In America, it's an average of 13. We're the least days off. Why? Because we're working for the dream. I don't know, sounds like a pretty good dream in Italy. They even close up shop still for a couple hours to have dinner together or lunch together.
Come on.
I remember growing up when the blue laws still existed. Well, you didn't work on Sunday. Things were closed on Sunday. It's when I was a kid in Texas. We live in a world that goes so fast, you don't have time to read your Bible.
Come on, bro.
You don't have time to go to church. It's the only day of the week you can sleep in a little bit. And so what do we lose? The light's gone and all we got left is a dark place.
Wow. Come on, bro. Lay it out, bro.
Come on.
Guys, we need the Scriptures so desperately.
Yep, come on.
And if we're going to have a light Christmas, we need these Scriptures to be shining bright. Yep. Philippians chapter 2.
Come on, Chris. It's up.
Just the basics today, guys.
Come on. Help us out. We need it, bro.
Philippians chapter 2. I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. That means I gotta light you up.
Amen.
I don't want you leaving not lit.
Amen.
I gotta plug you in to the Word of God. You know, it's like getting up in the morning and trying to make coffee and it's not working. And then your wife says, well, honey, you gotta plug it in. Oh! Why is life not working so many days? Because we get up and we don't plug into the Word of God. We just get off and start going and we're out of juice. And we got to plug in. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do everything. Everything. Everything.
Talk about it.
Everything? Without complaining. Uh-oh. Or arguing. How many of you did everything this week without complaining or arguing? I see Ken Thomas's hand up in the back. Oh, no, mine's only up to show you what to do if you did. Isn't this challenging? Why should we do everything without complaining or arguing? So that you may be blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And you know that's what we live in. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the Word of life. See, the Word of life shines bright.
Yep.
But the next step is that the men and women who love the Lord and follow the Lord and obey the Word also shine bright.
Amen.
But when we're complaining, when we're arguing, we're not shining. We're not light. And I know I've fallen into that this week and I'm so ashamed when it's all over. Because don't we want to be a light? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Oh baby. You remember what book that's in? Amen. Somebody's reading it. That's awesome. The book of James. We want to be lights this Christmas. Look at Matthew 11. But you got to hold out the Word of life to shine while you do it. You know, can I just say something?
Oh, yeah. Way later.
I am so sick and tired of the denominational Christians' argument for their own cowardice.
Wow. Come on, bro.
Oh, come on, man. I don't have to go talk to people about Jesus. I'm just going to shine like a light by the way I live. Some people say, oh, you don't have to go out and preach. That's too scary. Which is, by the way we live, it'll make a difference in our world. Oh, yeah. How many people become Christians because of that? Because of the way you live. Oh, I believe if you're preaching and you're not living right, we're hypocrites. But it is not enough to just be like, oh, but I'm a good person. I live a good life. How many people made Jesus Lord because of that at work? But I've heard it from so many churches. You're telling me I need to go out and speak to strangers? I studied the Bible with a guy once and I showed him that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. If you believe this is true, we can't go out in the dark world and put a bowl over our light. So he went to the elders in his church and he told them what I challenged him to do. to share his faith. You know what the elders told him? Are you kidding? You can't go out in some store and start talking to some stranger. That's proselytizing.
Come on.
This is what the elder of the church told him.
Come on, bro.
See, it's hard to tell people to go share their faith when you're afraid to do it.
Oh.
And we all get afraid.
Yeah.
Can we just be honest?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we need to be cowards and give in to our fear. Because
yeah.
when you love somebody, it gets easier.
Come on, bro.
But he said to his elders, and how do we reach out to people in the community? This is what he said. When people move into the area, we're notified, and we send out flyers to the new people in the mail. So that's what we ought to do. Just when you go outside on the street, don't start talking to people about Jesus on the street. How many of you were here today because someone invited you on the street that you didn't know and you came on out? I was invited by a guy I didn't even know that invited me out. I wasn't going to be here because I walked by and went, "Woo, he's bright!" Matthew 11, verse 28. It would help if I was in Matthew and not Mark. Ah, that's the one I was looking for. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Do you believe this? No. I mean, do you really believe this?
Come on.
That Jesus' burden is light? You know what a yoke is, right?
Yeah.
A yoke is what they put on oxen. You know, they put one on one neck and put one on the other neck and they rope them together. Wood and rope. So they are stuck together.
Yeah.
Well, I often say, would you yoke an ox to a chicken? No, you wouldn't. That'd be kind of stupid. You wouldn't even yoke a horse to an ox. Because the horse would start out strong, and the ox just goes at his pace. But after a while, the ox would still be going, and the horse would be dragging by the rope.
Yep.
What does this mean to be yoked with Jesus? And how could it be that that's a light burden? Listen, you're a guest today. We have one goal. We want you to study the Bible with us.
Come on.
We want to study the Bible with you because we want you to know what we believe.
Yep.
I grew up going to so many churches where I had no idea what everybody believed and they had no idea what I believed.
Yep.
And how are we supposed to be unified like that?
Right. Come on, bro.
And so, when I first visited this church, back in 1990, a sister church in New York City, they sat me down to study the Bible. And they took me through and they showed me what it meant to seek God with all my heart. What the Word of God was, and did I believe the Word of God, and did I want the Word of God to be my standard for my life? Not just some ideal of, "Oh, that's how it ought to be." But do I really want to follow the Word? What it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What it really means to be yoked with Him. To be His follower. Because Jesus was the light of the world. And He told His followers, "Now you are the light of the world." And we study out what it means, the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Sin and repentance. Light and darkness. False doctrine and true doctrine. We don't just say, "Hey, good to see you. You're a member. And I don't know you and you don't know me. No church will ever accomplish anything like that. We want to be unified. We want to show you what we believe. And if it's what you believe, we want to unite with you and we want to be the light of the world.
Amen. Amen. Come on, bro.
Jesus says, my burden is light. How can it be light? Some of you may be thinking, man, everything you just said, that's like a course. That's like college level.
Come on.
That's not light. By the way, midterms are due today if you are late turning them in. That's not light. This is a yoke choking me. So what did Jesus mean? My burden is light. Well, the key's right above it. He says, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, humility makes it a lot lighter.
Yep.
We're prideful. We're tugging against Jesus. It's harder. You know what else makes it lighter? Love. Love makes burdens lighter. When you love someone, you're willing to do a lot more before we reach that critical level of complaining and arguing. My car got towed the other day. We drove to New York last week for a memorial. We drove back Sunday. Teresa drove back with her mother Monday. Lucy moved in. We unloaded the truck yesterday. Well, in the middle of all this, I had Lucy's car parked in our spot, and I parked on the street. Me and Roger and Dave and Marcus went out, hung out Monday night, and as we came back, I said, now, Roger, Dave, I want you to look at this sign with me. Make sure that it's okay for me to park here. And I looked at it. I think it's cool. Brittany said, was he wearing his glasses? I looked at the sign. Roger looked at the sign. Dave looked at the sign. Yep, you're good, bro. I went out Tuesday morning to get my car, drive my kid to school. No car. It's gone. I wasn't feeling like a light. That wasn't the light I was talking about. Car light. That's not what I meant. So, I called up a friend of mine, or a friend of my daughter's friend's dad. You know what I mean. He's a policeman. I said, what happened here? This is where I parked. He said, oh, those signs are so confusing. Those signs are so confusing. Yeah, it says no parking December to April, 3 a.m. to 7 a.m., or if there's 2 inches of snow. Not with 2 inches of snow. So I went, well, there's not 2 inches of snow. Check the news at home. It said or. Some still don't get it. You're going to get towed, then you'll get it. But you know what this policeman did? He said, you know what? Why don't you get ready? I'll take you to go get your car. It's all the way down there by the bridge to Indiana. He said, I'll drive you down there. I said, really? You don't mind doing that? He said, that's what friends are for. The burden's lighter when you love. I want to read you a story here.
Come on, bro.
Somebody sent to me. Then we're going to take communion. It's called Two Horses. You heard it? Okay. Email. I'll get it out before the email hits everybody. Just up the road from my house is a field with two horses in it. From a distance, each looks like every other horse. But if you stop your car or are walking by, you will notice something quite amazing. Looking into the eyes of one of the horses will disclose that it's blind. His owner has chosen not to have him put down, but has made a good home for him. That alone is amazing. If nearby and listening, you will hear the sound of a bell. Looking around for a source of the sound, you will see that it comes from a smaller horse in the field. Attached to her halter is a small bell. It lets her blind friend know where she is, so he can follow her. As you stand and watch these two friends, you'll see how she's always checking on him, and that he will listen for the bell and then slowly walk where she is, trusting she will not lead him astray. When she returns to the shelter of the barn each evening, she stops occasionally and looks back, making sure her friend isn't too far behind to hear the bell. Like the owner of these two horses, God does not throw us away when we're not perfect. Or because we have problems or challenges. As Roger said earlier, we're a church full of problems. Starts with me. But we love each other. And we're here to help each other work through those problems. God watches over us. And He brings others into our lives to help us when we're in need. Sometimes we're the blind horse, guided by that little ringing of those God puts in our life. Other times, we're the guide horse, helping others see. Good friends are like this. You don't always see them, but you know they're always there. Wow. Brothers and sisters, I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. And beyond Christmas, in the next year, where we can build a church that's full of bright lights. Amen. Not that we're perfect, no way, but that we will be faithful to our God. Amen. We will commit to walking in the light as He is in the light. Amen. That when we confess our sins to one another, we'll pray for each other, and we'll help each other through.
Amen.
So that we won't ever get trapped by Satan in that dark basement of unconfessed sin and double lies.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
We are not bright lights when we're trapped in that place. And I know because I've been there. If any of you are there right now, you can have a light Christmas too.
Yeah. Come on.
But you got to grab someone you trust.
Come on.
And you got to trust them enough and trust God enough to get open with your life. God willing, today, one of my new friends, Angelo, is going to get baptized. I'm so proud of you, bro, for coming into the light. We were having a conversation just a couple weeks ago, and we were trying to unite and make sense of some things. And he just said, you know what? Let me tell you, this is why that happened last week. And he just got open. And I said, Angelo, that's it. Immediately, there's more trust in this circle. Because we're getting open. And honest and real. That's the church we want to build. And really, we want anyone here who's got a burden of sin on you that you've never confessed, that you've never been open about. You can confess it, and we will love you just as much after that confession as we do before. Now, we're not going to just leave the throw up all over the floor. We're going to clean it up and talk about what we need to do to change. But we're going to love you. Satan has convinced us that that kind of love does not exist. That when we get open, we'll be looked down upon and not believed in. And that a record of wrongs will not be kept. That's the way it's got to be. It can't be kept. As we go to communion today, what are your dreams? And what do you think God's dreams are for you? Because that's what really matters. When you can make God's dreams for you your dreams for you, you're going to have a light Christmas. God bless you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time to get into your word. Lord, we want to shine like stars as we hold out your word of life. God, I think of where I'd be today if it weren't for disciples that were bright lights for me. Men and women that pulled me in and showed me your word like I'd never seen it. I shudder to think where I'd be this morning. I'm so grateful for what you've given me. God, I pray as we come before you, whether it's this Christmas or whatever time, we're not looking for the gifts we're going to be given. But we're like the wise men who brought things to give. You've already given us so much, God. God, I pray for all those that Christmas is a very difficult time, whether it's because of loss of loved ones of the past, even the memorials that have gone on in the past couple of weeks. God, I pray for the families that are grieving loss. God, that Christmas isn't just a wonderful time of dreams for everyone, but for many, it's a time of deep sadness and regret and loss of dreams. God, please breathe life into us as we take the bread and fruit of the vine that represents your body and blood. Breathe life back into us. I pray that the fellowship afterwards today will breathe life into anyone, that no one will leave here today thinking that they can't dream again. God, we know there's still much to be done in our brief time on this planet. We pray for our communities, pray for our neighbors, for our family that aren't Christians. We want to be bright lights. We want to be the light of the world. God, we're frail, we're weak. Use our strengths and use our weaknesses to praise your name. It is in that name we pray. Amen.